Abayisai, we find in Sefer Nechemiah something very interesting. Abayisai, I want to share this with you. I was thinking about this. In Sefer Nechemiah, Abayisai, have you ever learned Sefer Nechemiah? Sefer Nechemiah? No, it goes as far as Sefer Shmuel normally, Sefer Melachim. Don't get Sefer Nechemiah. It's strongly recommend to learn Sefer Nechemiah. It's really interesting, really interesting. So, in Sefer Nechemiah, it says something, you know, when the Hidden were rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was being rebuilt. We find something very interesting that, now admittedly, there was a lot of goyim who caused a lot of goyish nations who delayed it and caused friction and difficulties. However, the main difficulty of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, the main difficulty came from Jews. They were the troublemakers, the real troublemakers. It was primarily the Eden who sabotaged the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They really sabotaged it from many ways and it was terrible, really terrible. It was the Eden themselves who sabotaged it. Now, what does that come and teach us? What is the message in such a turbulent rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash? And who is the one who caused all the trouble? The Eden themselves, it's incredible. So I want to tell you what I was thinking about. I didn't see this in this phone, but I think that might be. So I think that it's very often that we, you know, the Golus has become embedded in us, and we are after, you know, I suppose after, you know, the Golus mentality. We are like so many hundreds or thousands of years we're in Golus already. And it's like in us, and we lack the pride and the motivation, and just to be a Jew and to be a proud Jew, and to have a Beis HaMikdash, and to have that pride of being a nation in our own. And sometimes we forget that, and we are just complete. We're from hundreds and hundreds of years. We're a bit complexed of being Eden. A bit, we don't feel that stoltkeit and that thing. And therefore, it makes sense that it's typical that you didn't sabotage the building of Beis HaMikdash. It's just so typical because we're lacking sometimes that pride and that will of yes, we are you know, we are proud of it. One of the Chassid Rebbes once said, and I think that's in line with that. He said that please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, daven to Hashem, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, can you take the Yidden out of the Golos? Can you take the Yidden out of the Golos before it's going to be too late? That the Golos is going to be too much in the Yidden. So she said, you know, you take the Eden out of the Golos before you take the Golos out of, you know, because the Golos are in the, otherwise you're going to have to take out the Golos out of the Eden. And it's so true, it's so true, because we have so many hundreds of years, so we don't forget that. I experienced just a few weeks ago something. I was it's a very interesting experience. I want to share this with you because it's something which we suffer so much from. I went recently to an offset inspection. I don't know, they called me in to attend. So I went in this office inspection. It was interesting. The conversation changed in the middle. At the beginning of the conversation, it was very apologetic. It was very apologetic. You know, we don't fulfill this criteria, we don't do that criteria, and it's not right. And it was going down the route of failing the inspection. Later on, the managers of that particular school, they changed the tone a bit. And the tone was much less apologetic. So the reason why we don't do this, the reason why we don't do X, Y, Z, is because it's not in line with our tradition. It's not in line with our mystery. Now, the school didn't score particularly well, but the conversation from that point on went much better. Because there was a certain pride and a certain sense of that's us, and that's who we are, that's how we do things, and yes, take it or leave it. And I think that sometimes with that goddess mentality is so deeply embedded in us that we're forgetting this. And perhaps in the 9 days it's something to think about as well. When we are mourning the Beis HaMikdash, simultaneously we're also mourning our state. That sometimes we just, where is the pride of being a Jew? Where is the pride of our Torah? Where is the pride of our mitzvahs? Where is it all gone to? How about that tonight?
Yeah,
you agree? Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you, because every time we go out, my children say, we want to go home. I say, home is not here. Home is in Israel.
That's Yerushalayim. Absolutely. Home is Yerushalayim, yeah. Yeah. We should all go together home. B'mehera b'ameinu, amen. Very good. Rabbi Yisai. We are learning Siman Tov Kuf Pei Beis. I want to learn Tov Kuf Pei Gimel. Tov Kuf Pei Gimel. I want to learn the Siv Beis and then learn the entire Siman Tov Kuf Pei Dalet Yemir Hashem tonight. We're going to be discussing a little bit about Tashlich. How do Tashlich? Do you have to go somewhere where there's fish or not? Do you have to go where there's fish? Or it doesn't matter if there's no fish when you do Tashlich. Why don't we do Tashlich on Shabbos? What's wrong with doing Tashlich? What's wrong with doing Tashlich on Shabbos? I also want to discuss perhaps why we don't say Hallel on Shabbos and maybe a little bit, a few bits and pieces about doing a Bismillah on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi says, Eve Base. Oichlin Rosh Keves. Page 110, second line. Oichlin, we eat Rosh Keves, the head of a ram. Loima Niel Rosh Veloilin Zanov. Remember, we've discussed the simonim. We discussed the simonim last night. What simonim do you eat? All the regular ones. So here it says also you eat the Rosh Keves. Anybody goes for ram? You have a head of ram? No? Head of ram? Yeah, that'll help you. You go ahead of ram? No? It's nice.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. It should be. Oh, we could have talked about a fish. Loi mad niele Rosh, v'loi, and we say with Yishinele Rosh, we should be like the head. V'loi lezona, v'loi like a tail. V'zeicha, and simultaneously also le Eloi Shel Yitzchok, to the Isle of Yitzchok. These are the reasons why we have Rosh Keves. Now, it's very interesting. The Mishnah points out and says, "Got involved." Rosh Keves. Tov Yosef Shel Ayel. Better to have a ram. Loi Man Yele Rosh Tiv Katan Zayin. Val Kain. Himele Rosh Keves. If you don't have a head of a ram, Yechol Rosh Acher. You can eat another head of another animal. Shel Beima. Or Shel Oif over a chicken. What's missing, gentlemen? What's missing? The fish is missing. Is that strange? Isn't that strange? It's very fishy, yeah. It's very strange that we all do the simon of Yerushal and Nizalav on a fish. It's not mentioned here. You've got the ram, you've got the chicken, you've got it.
They cut them out of the
it's very interesting. Maybe. Rabbi Yisai, interesting, but that's what we do, the Lerosh V'loi Nezanov. Remember also that the Mishkibu taught us yesterday, you're allowed to say Elekeinu V'lekeav Oseinu, that's what Mishkibu says, one should say that. Continues the Ramah. This is now the Ramah talking, saying the following, additional Lachish, M'dak Mishloi Lechal, Egoizim. Many have the meaning of not eating Egoizim. What's Egoizim?
Nuts.
What kind of nuts? Egoizim includes certain types of nuts. Which nuts are called Egozim? Yes? Walnuts, hazelnuts. What about almonds? That's right. That's shkedim. That's not called egoizim. Why don't we have egoizim? She egoiz begimati achet. If you count up the gimati of egoiz, it's chet. Is that true or not true? It's not true. Why? If you make gimati, so let's make gimati. How much is aleph? One. How much is gimel? Altogether, so far. Then you've got the vav. 10, right? The Zion? 17. Okay, so Ego is the Kimati 17. Very nice. What about Chet? How much is Ches?
9. 8.
How much is Tes?
9. 17.
Plus the Aleph?
8.
Oh. You see. So 17, 18. Oh, there's one difference. So what's the answer? So Rabbi said the answer is a simple answer. If you look in the early editions of the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that Chet was spelled without an Aleph. It's grammatically nowadays correct, right, with an Aleph, but there is a real writing Chet without an Aleph, and then it was going to be 17 on each side. Exactly, because you don't need it. You don't need the Aleph. You don't need to pronounce it. Sure. Is it? Without an Aleph?
Never.
You certainly want. Interesting. I don't know. So that's why people have no minute not to eat egoism. But there's another reason as well. If you have nuts, it increases saliva. You've got bits and pieces in your mouth. Without the nuts, you can't daven well. Once you have nuts, a little piece in your you can't disturb your kavana. Two reasons. Now, Rabbi Yisai. Now, Rabbi Yisai, the question here is about, so walnuts we don't have, hazelnuts we also don't have. Many people. So what about almonds? Shkedim. It's not considered a nut. It's fine. It's not. It's fine. Now, yeah, It's not. It would be a mistake. Shkedim is not. Is not.
You make onto fruit. Walnuts.
Walnuts.
You eat almonds, and you got like.
I don't think you have to make a loy plug like exera on exera on exera. I don't think it goes that far. The question is about Isaiah as follows, and I don't have clarity in it. Processed nuts, which is very common. Cereals have got it. What else? Cakes, some cakes. What else?
Mixed
in as well as processed. What about the spread? No, what's called?
Peanut butter,
yeah. Yeah, all these things. What about that? At least I don't have clarity in it. It's true that it's processed, and it's not. It's processed, and it is. As, yeah, but it is called. It's part of. It, yeah. So it's pardon. Is it gimat yechet? Yes or no? It is. Is it mevatel kechaveneo? Probably not. All right, but it's probably the first reason apply. It's not clear. I investigated a few years ago. It's very hard to find clear cut. It's all within a minute. So you've got a suffix in a minute. Is that a minute or not a minute? Most of those foods are quite recent. It's very hard to establish whether that's included in the general minute or not. I believe that many people are machmir. So, but it's hard to establish that as an absolute fact. Okay, now. Yes, the answer is yes, but if you're just davening a mincha or just, you know, it's not, you manage to pull yourself together. However, when you're davening long slichas and long tefillas, it's much more disturbing. It's because the extended time we spend davening. Continues the Imam. Hoil chil en anor, loim apostle v'tashlich v'mtzula is yom, kalchot is in, we also go to a river. And we say, "V'tashlech b'metzula is yom kol chatzenu." V'tashlech b'metzula is yom kol chatzenu. How do we call this minig? Tashlech. So this is the minig of tashlech. Now the Mishabu over here goes into greater details over here. He brings the Madrash that Avraham Avinu wanted to go to. He wants to go to the Akedah. And as he was going to the Akedah, what was happening? The Satan made it very difficult for him. And the river was going up and up and up, the river all the way till he reached literally his nostrils, and he couldn't. But he carried a plenty of excuses. Oh, I can't go through, I can't, let me go home. You know, I'll be, can't go, I can't make it. No! He went with tremendous mesilas nefesh. He went all the way to the Zaket Yitzchok. That tremendous mesilas nefesh, that unique and unprecedented mesilas nefesh, is why the schuz of the Zaket is so immense. Schos of the Akedah, and that's what we do, the main reason why we do Tashlich Rabbeisai. He's unlike the popular myth that, nothing to do with, yeah, he can't throw sins, it's the worst chinuch he can do for kids, to tell them he can throw sins in the world. It's the worst chinuch. But it doesn't go by, you know, emptying out your pockets. It doesn't go. The reason why, according to Mishnah Berurah, we do Tashlich is, We remember, and it's a remembrance of the Akedas Yitzchok, who did enormous Mesiros Nefesh by a river. Therefore, we go to a river to remember and to bring about the Zchus of the Akedas Yitzchok. That, according to Mishnah Berurah, we do that. What about fish? What's fish got to do with anything?
I don't know.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Ksovim, which I believe is the Arizal, he says, no, Rebbe, you can go to, he says that, he says, Toiv Leilich Mokm Shesh Bedogim Chaim, because of Ayin Orah, but then he did say, he brings the name of the Arizal, you can also go to a Nor, what's a Nor? And you can go to a Be'er, what's a Be'er? Have you got fish in a Be'er? Is there fish in a well? Hope not. It's going to be drinking water, right? So there's no fish in a well. So both sides, a contemporary post can bring a proof from here that you can say tashlich in a place where there's no fish. In Bnei Brak, I believe, there's nowhere near, you're nowhere near. So as some people go to, you know, there's a Coke factory. You know, or you can go to a fish tank. Why not a fish tank? What's wrong with a fish tank? Or if you don't have a fish tank, you can do it in front of the sink. Apparently, the stipler, who was anywhere very makpit and not going outside, he did better sink. What's wrong with the sink? You switch on it. What's wrong with that? What's it's running water? Why not?
How about using fresh
I don't know how, to what extent you have to, it has to be the same setting. Well, it sounds like if a be'er is good enough, it's a well, it's a reservoir. Yeah, yeah, today you could have done it anywhere, absolutely. Yeah, today, absolutely, yeah. So I don't know, this is what I'm just saying, that's what the post can bring for me. That there seems to be quite a significant leniency where you can actually make the fulfill the minhag of Tashlich. Rabbi, yes. What about Shabbos Kodesh? Can you do Tashlich on Shabbos? Yes or no? If you look in the Machzor, it will tell you. What will the Machzor tell you? The Machzor will tell you, don't do if Shabbos, the first day Shana is on Shabbos, you do Tashlich on the second day. If the Machzor says it, no question asked. Why is it that we don't? Mishabu says, well, why? What's wrong with it? What are you going to do? What are the avedas that you have in your pocket? Heavy. What's the? Oh, that's what Mishabu says. Sounds like it. V'ktas mekoymus. In some few places, I noticed. Ktas mekoymus. In some places, I noticed. I've seen. Kshecholim rishon v'shabbos and first Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Holchen b'sheni lano, we go on the second day to the river. So in some places, there's a minhag that you tashlich on the second day. Why? The evshe could be, Mishabu said, I don't know, could be. I suggest, mipnish ano chutz leir, because could be the river is out of town. Umishum ha'itzor, shenois in sforim b'chedoim, if people may carry the machzorim, all the sforim, they may say, you know, they may take machzorim. Lekach holchen b'yom sheni, that's where they go on the second day. Interesting, it's the name of the Prima Goldim. So he suggests that perhaps there is, it's universally, I think, nowadays, people, you know, if you go nowadays on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you go to Shabbos, you go to Tashlich, you know, it'd be called Bechal Shabbos. It could be because we have more avias to carry nowadays, I don't know. So, but it is generally accepted nowadays. Now, the problem may be Hoitzah, and I would imagine that if you're convinced that there's no problem of Tzor, then it's fine. The Meiser, I know that some Chassidim have the minhag of doing Tashlich in Aseret Metshuva, and it doesn't seem to be any reason why, it doesn't seem to be contrary to any halacha. I mean, it seems to be totally acceptable to do Tashlich during Aseret Metshuva. Don't see any reason why not. Gam Noegin finishes the Ramad the Sim by saying the following halacha: Gam Noegin Shlalishon B'Yom Rosh Hashanah. The minig is also not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. For minig Nochanun, it is a proper minig, not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? What? Now this is the Yerushalmi Rabbi said. This is the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says Mishum De'isi Yerushalmi Man the Domich Bereish Shata Domich Mazli. Somebody who sleeps in the first period, the first times of the year, Domich Mazle is not a good Mazle. Interestingly, here the Mishnah Berurah pulls out some fantastic colors. So what's the colors? But Ari Omash Achatzos Mutalishon, Ari said, no, that's all before Chatzos. After Chatzos, there's nothing wrong with sleeping. That's a significant color, because before Chatzos, we're anyway not gonna, you know, we're still in shul. So, after Chatzos, some people sleep in the shul. Aspect to this halach. Somebody who is battling, is wasting his time, that's like sleeping. So when do we say, don't go to sleep? That's if you are, but if you're not productive, that's like sleeping. If you're wasting your time reading the, if you're wasting your time on Rosh Hashanah afternoon reading the, yeah, so that's like, you know, that's you might as well go to sleep. It's no point. Or Shana night. So that's fine. Interesting. Yeah, I know, but that's fine. That's interesting, but that's fine. There are some who explain the minhag that they wake up for vasikin, for nets, and daven Shana net because they don't want to sleep after nets because of that minig. But it's not universally accepted. If a person is very tired and he's like dozing off, yishan me'at, if somebody's very tired, and he knows that if by resting 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, that's going to help him to learn later on, and daven like a mensch, then he should, by all means, says the Mishnah, it's fine to rest a little bit. Because if you're just going to waste your time, that's like sleeping, it's the equivalent of sleeping. But it is interesting to know that many people still have a makpid to be very, very careful about not sleeping. So Mishnah does bring a few kolas, but many people are still very, very makpid. Many people have the meaning of saying the entire Sefer Tehillim of Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Piskarov, who was known to be an exceptional Talmid Chacham, of course, of Golubi Yisrael, he didn't learn on Rosh Hashanah. He didn't learn. Because he said the whole Sefer Tehillim. When people ask him, why saying Tehillim? You know, you are God Hadar, why don't you learn the, you know, Gemara properly? Why are you not why saying Tehillim? He said, because when you learn Gemara, there's inevitably going to be some minutes, said the Piskarov. You're going to be thinking, concentrating, and maybe your mind is going to slip off for a minute. You're going to be thinking other things. On Rosh Hashanah, you can't. It's spittle toilet. When I say Tehillim, it doesn't non-stop without interruption. So there's no bittle toilet involved. There's no bittle toilet. But if I learn, I'm concerned that I may do some bittle toilet. Interesting. That's what the Biskarov looked at it. Very, very interesting approach. Rabbi said, we learned this evening, we did manage to do the Siman Tov. I planned to do the entire Siman Tov Kuf Pei Dalet. Wasn't quite successful, I'm afraid. But this is what we learned this evening. We learned that one of the simonim is the simon of having a Rosh Keves, the head of a ram. Shin Rosh Lole Zonav. We learned. We don't need to goizim because of two reasons, as a gemati echad, or because of the saliva. We also learned about the minig of going tashlich, and we also learned about the minig of not sleeping in Rosh Hashanah afternoon. And we learned that there is some coolness in that, but there's an additional meaning also to say the entire Tehillim. And we will continue Be'ez Hashem tomorrow with Sim Tov Kuf Pei Dalet Be'ez Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.